show their presence by voting. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please take the final roll.
36 present.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Schaefer is excused from the call today. Representative Eliason is excused after 11 a.m. today. Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Buchholz be excused from the call of the House April 7th.
There are no objection. Representative Buchholz will be excused on April 7th. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Malone be excused from the call of the House March 28th through April 1st.
There's no objection. Representative Malone will be excused on those dates. The prayer today is by Vicar Daniel Schlewitz of the Resurrection Lutheran Church. Will the members please rise for the prayer?
I would like to offer today a prayer that is attributed to St. Francis. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, and to be understood as to understand, and to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
Representative Malone.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that prayer be spread on the journal.
There's no objection. The prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the chief clerk please certify as the correctness of the previous day's journal?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 73rd day and House Supplement Number 37.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 73rd day and House Supplement Number 37 be approved as certified by the chief clerk.
There's no objection. The journal and journal supplement will stand approved. Are there guests for introduction to the House this morning? Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, if you recall, yesterday there were two members of the Blatchett Junior High School class here. And this morning we have the privilege of introducing the rest of them. In Gallery A, if they will stand when I call their name, we'll applaud when they're all standing. Brenda Belcher, Elida Davis, David Eliason, fourth or fifth cousin, Mr. Speaker, Susan Ginn, Leon Henke, Chris McMichael, Dan Schawicker, Andy Walters, Karen Welch, and Doug Standerwick. And Mr. Speaker, their teacher has been here a number of years with this class. I don't recall the exact amount of years, but at least 6 or 8 years. Mr. Harvey Brandt.
Further guests, Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I have a very good friend from Houston, Alaska, Pearly Strasburg.
Further guests, messages from the governor.
No, Mr. Speaker.
At this time, under messages from the governor, in response to the governor's letter from yesterday requesting that appoint somebody to the Investment Advisory Committee, I'd like to. There is only one appointment that each house is entitled to. I'd like to appoint Representative Meekins to the Governor's Investment Advisory Board. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill Number 275, Finance, special appropriation to the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund, and it is returned. This bill has been sent to enrolling. The Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill Number 28, presidential primary party primary elections, with the following amendment. Second Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 28, amended Senate, same title, and it is transmitted for consideration. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 394, amended by the Finance Committee, an act exempting the income of commercial airline flight crews from the Alaska Net Income Tax and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
Senate Bill Number 522 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act enacting and entering into the Compact for Education and designating the members of the Education Commission and providing for an effective date.
Hess.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on State Affairs has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 2 relating to the comprehensive recycling and reduction of litter under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 2 and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Eliason, Parker, Fuller, Metcalf, and Gardner. Having no recommendation, Martin. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 2 has a further referral to Judiciary. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Concurrent Resolution 62 relating to the federal census under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendment. Report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Parr, Malone, Anderson, Buchholz, O'Connell, Phillips, and Martin. House Concurrent Resolution number 62 has no further referral. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 802 relating to nurse midwives under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 802 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Buchholz, concurred in by Hurlburt, Miles, Munson, and Buchholz. Chatterton has no recommendation. House Bill 802 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 906, Veteran Service Preference under the State Personnel System, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 906 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Eliason, Parker, Fuller, Metcalf, Martin, and Miller. House Bill 906 has no further referral. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 956, Special Appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services for a Mental Health Transitional Facility in Anchorage under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 956 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Buchholz, Chairman, concurred in by Hurlburt, Munson, Buchholz, and Byrne. Having no recommendation, Chatterton. House Bill 956 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Joint Resolution 18, proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to legislative sessions under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Phillips, Martin, Barnes, O'Connell, Anderson, and Buchholz. Having no recommendation, Parr and Malone. House Joint Resolution 18 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to special committees.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
House Bill 977 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. An act relating to the health of residents of the state and providing for an effective date.
Hess and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
At this time, I'd like to add an additional referral on House Bill 205. This relates to oil pollution and spills to the Finance Committee. It does have a substantial fiscal note on it. Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the Chief Clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 869 by Parr, an act relating to claims of the state and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 869 under consideration. A majority of the committee reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman. Signing do pass, Anderson, Barnes, and Parr. Having no recommendation, O'Connell, Martin, Brown, and Phillips. I have one amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number one by Mr. Parr. Page 2, line 28. Change 060 to 050.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
There's objection. There is objection.
Mr. Speaker, there's simply a typographical error on page 2, line 28. The number 4478060 should be 050 because it refers to the notification under the preceding section. It's simply a typographical error.
Is there further objection? there's no further objection, the amendment will be adopted. Are there further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that House Bill number 869, amended by the House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
If there's no objection, House Bill 869 will be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage. Will clerk please read the bill on third reading?
House Bill number 869, amended by PAR, an act relating to claims of the state and providing for an effective date.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the purpose of the bill is covered in the very first section on the legislative purpose. Essentially, the purpose of the bill is to say that if the state owes someone $1,000 and that person owes the state $500, that person collects $500. We don't pay them off, pay off the debts we owe, and then not collect the ones that are due the state. The bill arose from some work I was doing during the fall on the business of checking on the runaway fathers, and it turns out that what's happening now is for the state has, for example, families on AFDC, and we're paying out support payments for those families. If a runaway father is tracked down through the Child Support Enforcement Agency, the money obtained from that father goes into the general fund as an offset. Some of these people do not, however, pay. You have trouble tracking them down. And so what we're doing is paying something that they should be paying for. And I discovered that North Carolina had developed a system of setting it off against, among other things, income tax refunds. So that is the purpose of the bill. It also might be pointed out, Mr. Speaker, that we also have a number of people who are delinquent to the state on student loan payments, and so it would be another way in which the vehicle could be used.
Is there further debate? Representative Randolph.
Mr. Speaker, I have a couple of questions. First, it appears in the bill that it only allows the person who's being accused of having a debt to the state to have a hearing before the department that says they have the debt. And it seems to me that's kind of acting as accuser, judge, and jury. Am I reading the bill correctly?
Representative Parr.
Well, Mr. Speaker, of course, any citizen of the state has a right to go to court if he's not satisfied with administrative procedures in this or any other bill.
Representative Randolph.
Okay, my statement that would be going to court, of course, is very expensive, and I don't think that's really an adequate answer there. My biggest question with the bill, however, is a policy question of whether or not the state ought to be put in a position above private debtors for collecting their debts. A person who owes the state money may also owe many other people money. And this seems to me to put the state in a very privileged position over a whole variety of possible private debtors. Another thing that bothers me about it is that you're using the tax system as a means of collecting potential bad debts, which seems to me might be an encouragement to the state to maintain its tax structure that otherwise wouldn't be necessary.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, it's true the person might have other debts, but I'm sure that anybody who owed that person $1,000 would certainly not pay him $1,000 and not collect that $500 that was due him. And that's what it boils down to in the long run. So, you know, I don't know that the fact that the person may have other debts has anything at all to do with the matter. This is a case of the state not paying out money without offsetting what's due it.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'm afraid I'm going to vote against the bill for that reason. I think it is a preference among creditors, and yet we don't know at all who we're dealing with in each case, who those creditors are, or how their order of priority would be determined in the according to the law of debtor and creditor. So I think that I rarely rise and agree with Mr. Randolph on this point, on this floor on anything, but on this point I'm afraid I have to agree. In individual circumstances could be very widely ranging from person to person. Conceivably, if the state has some money that it is supposed to pay to somebody, The state could be served with a writ of execution and a notice to third parties saying, State of Alaska, you are to pay Joe Jones this. I already have a judgment for this amount, and therefore pay me. And then who has the right to the money? Which creditor has the right? By passing this bill, we kind of avoid a judge ever deciding the question as to the preference and order and priority of creditors. Therefore, I oppose the bill.
Representative Randolph.
Mr. Speaker, having Mr. Brown with me, I probably should just sit down and be quiet. However, I just do want to emphasize the point that the state's the only entity that would have just about everybody that they, in fact, had a credit coming from the state. And I think it does put the state in an extremely preferential position.
Representative Parr.
Well, Mr. Speaker, if someone can tell me why the state of Alaska, using the taxpayers' money, should pay a person $1,000 when that person owes the taxpayers $500, I'll be willing to sit down and shut up. But any talk about priority among creditors on a matter of is as simple as this, I don't understand.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, time and time again on this floor, I hear so many people saying this state ought to be run like a business. You know, we can't just be freedom. Let's run it like a business. What business in the world would, as Mr. Parr suggests, pay somebody $1,000 if they owed them $500? It just doesn't make sense.
Question for the House, the final passage of House Bill 869. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, may take the final roll.
27 yeas, 9 nays.
House Bill 869 is passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of House Bill number 869, amended by the House, be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call and final passage will be shown as the roll call and the effective date clause. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar. Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, may we return to introduction of guests?
Under introduction of guests.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And Gallery B, I'd like to introduce a good friend of mine, Art Kennedy, who's a candidate for the United States Senate.
Representative Fuller.
Introduction of guests, Mr. Speaker. In gallery, in front of Gallery A, I have a young man from Teller who has been working in the Senate side as a page. His name is Jerry Occupuck.
Stand up, Jerry.
Further guests. Clerk, please read the next item.
House Concurrent Resolution number 57 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Council for the Blue Ribbon Commission on the State Personnel Act relating to preparation and distribution by the Division of Budget and Management, Office of the Governor, of a Personnel Procedures Manual. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Concurrent Resolution 57 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Eliason, Parker, Gardner, Metcalf, Martin, and Fuller. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Is there debate? Yes. House Concurrent Resolution number 57 is before the House in final passage. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Maybe we get a little clearer idea of what this procedures manual, how it's expected to work and how it's expected to help out the problems with the classification of positions.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, the word manual, I think, is probably an overstatement of the case. I don't think anybody, including the people who are involved, envision a manual in the sense that sometimes we talk about manuals as big, thick, expensive work products. In this case, the State Affairs Committee sees this as a zero fiscal note work product that can be accomplished by existing staff on within existing limits of time. So therefore, there is no cost to it. There is a problem area in the reclassification of employees right now, Mr. Speaker, in that there is sort of a lack of unanimity about how to create new classifications, how the people are to be initially square holes and square pegs and square holes, that sort of thing. The report from the Blue Ribbon Commission says there are some areas in establishment of a new position or the reclassification of an existing position over which the Division of Personnel and Division of Budget Management appear to have jurisdiction. This overlap can lead to confusion for the departmental staff responsible for the preparation of documents. This means the various other departments. The confusion can lead to delays in establishing positions and therefore delays in implementing new programs. Where time is the essence, these delays can frustrate the purpose of legislatively enacted programs, which we've, I'm sure, all suffered that frustration. Therefore, the Commission, this is the Blue Ribbon Commission on Personnel, recommends that the legislature request the Division of Budget and Management to prepare and distribute a procedures manual to assist the departmental personnel officers and program managers on the steps necessary to establish a new position, classify an existing position. Testimony before the committee, Mr. Speaker, indicated that actually this manual, in a sense, is already written, has been written for several years in the form of lots of individual memos that are tucked away in different file cabinets. And what we're talking about is just sort of a putting together of the current knowledge into one place so that the other departments, when they want to reclassify or create new things, everybody can read off the same song sheet.
There further debate? Question for the House, the final passage of House Concurrent Resolution Number 57. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Byrne? The further members? Clerk may take final roll.
36 yeas, no nays.
House has passed House Concurrent Resolution Number 57. Completes today's calendar, brings us to unfinished business. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, there are two items that we should take action on today. They're on all members' desks. They should have a file folder that has a notation on the top of it, says bills in limbo, and should contain two bills. One is House Bill Number 3. It's been pretty well worked over since it was first introduced. And we have a Senate committee substitute that has been passed across to us from the other body. And I'm going to be making a motion to concur in the Senate amendments, but I'm going to be asking members to vote no so that some problems with the bill can be worked out in free conference. So, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur in Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill Number 3, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill Number 3, and I ask members to vote no.
The question for the House is the motion to concur with the Senate amendments to House Bill 3. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Branson? Representative Elias Inert? We'll avoid that roll call and try another one. We'll avoid that roll call and start over. Before he announces his vote, if Representative Eliason, if yours turns green and you're trying to push red, we can change it at your request. So you should, when I ask to have the votes changed, if it registers that way again, you should request that it be recorded as a no vote. The question for the House is the motion to adopt the Senate amendments to House Bill 3. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Elias?
Mr. Speaker, would you have the clerk change my vote from green to red? No?
Representative Eliason's vote will be recorded as a no vote on this motion. Will the clerk please take the final roll?
Yes. No yeas. 36 nays.
The House has failed to concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 3. The House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. This time I'd like to announce the appointment of a free conference committee on House Bill 3. Representative Parker, Chairman, Representative Miller, and Representative Eliason. This is the same committee that has served as our committee on elections that has been reviewing this legislation. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, another item under unfinished business.
Representative Anderson.
We have, members should have in their packets as well, committee substitute for House Bill number 28 regarding presidential party primary elections. The prime sponsor has indicated that the amendments made will meet with his approval, and I'm going to move that the House concur, and I'm going to be recommending that we vote yes. Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur in Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill number 28, thus adopting second Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill number 28 amended by the Senate, and I recommend that House members vote yes.
Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
Second Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill number 28 amended Senate by the Finance Committee. An act providing for presidential party primary elections and providing for an effective date.
Representative Miller.
This is a word of explanation, Mr. Speaker. There are, I guess you'd say, two significant changes that the other body did with this bill, both of which, of course, I concur with. Number one, they took the repealer date and changed it from 1981 to 1984. The repealer is a sunset, and the feeling was, let's try it once. You know, if we like it, all that the legislature has to do is put out a one-line repealer on the repealer, and you know, we'll be in business permanently. If we find that experience isn't all that noteworthy and positive for Alaska, then we'll just let the repealer take effect. So we passed this bill last year, of course, and we were hopeful of having a presidential primary this year. The other body did not act on the legislation last year, so as a result, we're not going to be able to have a presidential primary in Alaska for the current presidential election. However, under the terms of the Senate bill, we would have our first primary election, presidential primary, 4 years from now. And I think everybody probably agrees that regardless of the disposition of various pieces of legislation that are in Washington, Alaska is always going to have a very strong reason for wanting to talk on a one-to-one basis with the principal contenders for national office. So therefore, if it made sense for this year, it probably makes just as much sense last year. Perhaps it's lamentable that we didn't get into it this year, but that's the way things go. So anyway, the one change is that it moves the expiration date up 4 years. The other major change, and I think this is an excellent change on the part of the Senate, is that they have allowed the Lieutenant Governor the flexibility, if he gives enough notice, to change the date of the presidential primary for Alaska. And this change by the Senate is consistent with what Senator Stevens suggested when he was speaking before the joint session 2 or 3 weeks ago. You'll recall that he said that Alaskans should get together with Washingtonians and Oregonians and maybe somebody from Idaho, and we should have a setup that would allow for the first regional primaries. We would still have our own primaries, but we'd have it at the same time that other regions had theirs. The result would be that it would become economically and politically far more advantageous for other for presidential contenders to come up here. Right now, if we have a presidential primary and the big primaries are going on back in New York or Connecticut or Georgia or wherever, obviously the number one contenders, you know, the Reagans, the Carters, the Kennedys, they're going to emphasize, they're going to be where the biggest votes are. But if we can develop one of these regional setups where our primary is held at approximately the same time that the rest of the Pacific Northwest holds theirs, then we could very well indeed end up attracting the really top contenders in the presidential primary elections. So for that reason, this one Senate amendment, which as I emphasize again, I hardly concur with, does give Lieutenant Governor the flexibility to go down to the other states in the Pacific Northwest, you know, if that's our collective judgment, and allows them to negotiate and find out what the best possible dates would be so that we could approach this regional concept. Aside from that, Mr. Speaker, there's no appreciable difference. The allocation of delegate strength in the conventions is about the same, or not about the same, it is the same. And I give it personally my concurrence and urge the members to vote yes.
Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, does the clerk have the voting record for this bill, both the House and Senate? And if so, would it be possible to read it?
Point of order, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
I'd be very glad on a private basis to give the questioner the voting record on an at-ease basis for the other body, but it is a violation of the joint rules to call for the other body. But it's perfectly within the rules to request the voting record of our own body.
House, please stand at ease. The House, please come back to order. The question for the House is the motion to adopt the Senate amendments to House Bill 28. Is there further debate? The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
35 yeas, 1 nay.
The House has adopted the Senate amendments to House Bill 28. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, may we have a brief at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We are going to have to move the effective date clause. So at this time, Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of Second Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 28, amended by the Senate, be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. There is objection. We'll have a separate roll call. Question for the House is the motion to adopt the effective date clause contained in Second Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Committee Substitute for House Bill 28 amended by the Senate. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
34 yeas, 2 nays.
The House has adopted the effective date clause on House Bill 28, amended by the Senate. Representative Fuller.
Mr. Speaker, introduction, I guess.
Representative Fuller.
I would like to introduce a look-alike from my hometown. Our state Democratic chairman and city manager of Nome, Andy Edge.
Representative O'Connell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also in Gallery A, a good friend from the Kenai Peninsula and one of our more distinguished citizens, the president of the Kenai Peninsula Borough School Board, Mrs. Sheila Owens.
Representative Branson.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration on my vote on House Bill 869.
Notice of reconsideration is noted on House Bill 869. Are there further items of unfinished business to come before the House? Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, at 11 o'clock in the House Commerce Committee room, room 207 and 208, there will be a joint meeting with House Commerce and House Hess, like members of both committees, to attend to
hear a presentation on the report on the feasibility of telecommunications for instruction in the state of Alaska. This is a presentation that will be made by representatives of the Department of Education and the University of Alaska.
Representative Meekins.
Speaker, the House Finance Committee will meet at 1:30 today. We'll be taking up the fiscal notes for HB 43 relating to Alaska Code Revision, HB 453 regarding labor relations, school boards, public employer, and employees, HB 918 Supplemental Appropriation, Department Administration, Division of Data Processing, HB 192 Equalization of Tax Resources of Municipalities, HB 154 Creditable Service, Teacher Retirement System, Territorial Employment, HB 537 Establishment of State Deferred Compensation Board, and a mystery bill, HB 962.
Mr. Speaker. Representative Brown.
Well, in addition to our meeting this morning, of course, we're meeting tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, House Commerce only, on Senate Bill 112, Corporate Dissolutions and Reinstatement Fees.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Speaker. Judiciary meet at 3 this afternoon. We have House Bill 812, Establishing a Commission to Secure Equality of Justice.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The HES Committee this afternoon will meet on House Bill 96690, GO Bonds for the University of Alaska, and they heard Mr. Brown say 11 o'clock at his Commerce meeting.
Representative Branson.
Mr. Speaker, there'll be a joint Senate and House Republican caucus at 3:30 in the Governor's Conference Room.
Representative Vosterbeck.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resource will meet today at 3 o'clock, taking up House Joint Resolution 85, Harvest of Herring, and sponsor substitute for House Bill 630, taking of sale of fish without a permit. And the House Bill 891 was canceled by request of sponsor.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, State Affairs will meet today at 1:30 on 787, establishing Alaska Public Forum in the Governor's Office, HB 764, establishing Alaska Student Leadership Association, House Bill 765, a special appropriation to the Department of Education for the Alaska Student Leadership Association. Regarding those last two bills, Mr. Speaker, I might mention that we have had a request from outside of the city here for a teleconference on those two pieces of legislation. So next week when we're holding teleconference on some other legislation for about 15 or 20 minutes, we'll also talk about this Alaska Student Leadership legislation. So we will not be sending out a product today, but we'll still have an initial hearing.
There will be a meeting of the Free Conference Committee on the Permanent Fund at 1 o'clock in the Speaker's office. Are there further announcements? Special orders? Representative Fuller.
Mr. Speaker, I wish to address the body on the Iditarod. The subject is stink meat.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a communique from Bob Purdy in Anchorage dated 325. I'd like to read the short text of the message. This morning, the Anchorage Daily News reported that John Knutson of Alaska Fish and Wildlife has filed charges against two Iditarod mushers for failure to immediately salvage the meat of a moose taken by them in defense of life and property. They were obviously exhausted and not prepared to hang and dress a moose. They notified others asking for the moose to be salvaged as soon as possible, but by others a few miles up the trail. The news media announced the incident shortly afterwards. If the salvage of the meat is so important, why didn't the Fish and Wildlife do so? Was this meat not used later to feed animals? Why are road and highway kills left to rot? These charges seem unwarranted and ridiculous. Why not have the state pay for the injuries to the mushers and the dogs involved? Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further special orders. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
There's no objection. The House adjourn till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.